Good morning. Welcome to God's house today as you and I continue to rejoice in how the church grows throughout our Pentecost season. Throughout these summer months, we're being reminded of how that church grows. In these couple of weeks, we're focusing in how as that church grows, it's because each individual Christian has a chance to grow. Grow in faith and grow in life. Today, you and I rejoice in that rest that helps us grow. The order of service is printed for you in your worship folder. All the hymns are in your worship folder. Everything that you need for today is there. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins to God our Father, asking Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful, and that I have disobeyed you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior, Jesus Christ, I pray, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us and has given His only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by His authority, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. God of all power and might, you are the giver of all that is good. Help us love you with all our heart. Strengthen us in true faith. Provide us with all we need and keep us safe in your care. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. You may be seated. The seventh Sunday after Pentecost allows us to rejoice that as the Christian grows, the Christian grows as it finds his rest in Christ. All of our lessons remind us of some of the difficulties that we have to face, and yet every Christian knows where to go. First lesson from Exodus chapter 33, right after the golden calf incident, when the Lord had said to Moses, "I'm not going with you." Moses pleads with the Lord and knows where to go and rejoices when God finally says, "I will reveal my name. I will come with you." Exodus chapter 33, beginning at verse 12. Moses said to the Lord, "Look, you yourself have been telling me, 'Lead this people up.' But you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, 'I know you by name,' and you also have found favor in my sight. So now if I have found favor in your sight, please show me your ways, so that I may know you, so that I may find favor in your sight. Consider that this nation is your people." The Lord said, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." Moses said to him, "If your presence is not going to go with me, do not send us up from here. After all, how would people know that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people? Isn't it in this way that you will go with us so that we are distinguished, I and your people, from all the people who are on the face of the earth?" The Lord said to Moses, "I will also do this thing that you have said, for you have found favor in my sight, and I know you by name." Then Moses said, "Please show me your glory." The Lord said, "I will make all my goodness pass in front of you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord in your presence. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy to whom I will show mercy." He said, "You cannot see my face, for no human may see me and live." The Lord also said, "Look, there is a place next to me where you shall stand on the rock. It will happen that while my glory passes by, I will put you in a crevice in the rock. I will cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will take away my hand, and you will see my back, but my face will not be seen. This is the word of our Lord. Our psalm for this morning is Psalm 145. You see the refrain printed for you there. I will sing the verses this morning. Please join me in the refrains, and the glory be to the Father.
Lord, let your mercy be on us, as we place our trust in you. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation will commend your works to another. They will tell of your mighty acts. The Lord upholds all those who fall, and lifts up all who are bowed down. Lord, let your mercy be on us, as we place our trust in you. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. The Lord is near to all who call on Him, to all who call on Him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear Him. He hears their cry and saves them. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Lord, let your mercy be on us, as we place our trust in you.
Our second lesson continues the readings from the letter to the Romans. Chapter 7 is that familiar reminder of the struggle that every Christian faces. As we struggle with what we know we're supposed to be doing and what we know is right and wrong, and yet we struggle with doing the things that we don't want to do, not doing the things that we do want to do. Where do you find rest? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 7, starting at verse 15. For I do not understand what I am doing, because I do not keep doing what I want. Instead, I do what I hate. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. But now it is no longer I who am doing it, but it is sin living in me. Indeed, I know that good does not live in me, that is, in my sinful flesh. The desire to do good is present with me, but I am not able to carry it out. So I fail to do the good I want to do. Instead, the evil I do not want to do, that is what I keep doing. Now if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who am doing it, but it is sin living in me. So I find this law at work. When I want to do good, evil is present with me. I certainly delight in God's law according to my inner self, but I see a different law at work in my members, waging war against the law of my mind and taking me captive to the law of sin, which is present in my members. What a miserable wretch I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. This is the word of our God. Alleluia. Happy are they who hear the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart, and bring forth fruit with patience. Alleluia. Please stand for the gospel. The Holy Gospel for the seventh Sunday after Pentecost is recorded in Matthew chapter 11.
Glory be to you, O Lord. Glory be to you, O Lord.
At that time, Jesus continued, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from clever and learned people and have revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, because this was pleasing to you. Everything has been entrusted to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wants to reveal him. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, because I am humble and gentle in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise be to you, O Christ. Praise be to you, O Christ.
As we have now found rest in our Lord, we confess our faith in that same Lord with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father, from God the Son who comes with his rest, and God the Holy Spirit who points us to both Father and Son through his word. The last words of today's gospel lesson, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Feel like arguing with that? I mean, wasn't it just last week that Jesus reminded us that as the Christian is going to grow in faith, we're going to have to fight unbelief? You remember the words, father against son, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. You feel like arguing with that? Look around. Look at what's going on in our world. It's not getting any easier to be a Christian. Sure, there may be some who aren't necessarily opposed to Christianity as such. They may not care. They may not care much one way or the other. And yet you and I are living in a world that has always been, not just now, has always been fighting Christianity, has always been coming with its own form of tolerance and love. We struggle. It's hard. It's easier to just go with the flow. It's easier to just not say anything. It's easier to not wear that t-shirt, and it's easier to not go to that place just because we don't want the fight. Your God wants you. The church grows as we spend our time in God's Word, and the church grows as each individual Christian grows. Jesus is not going to downplay the fact that as you and I live in faith, that we're going to have to struggle against those who are without faith. But he does want us to know where to go for rest. And so we read these words from Matthew chapter 11, our gospel lesson for this morning. Rejoicing in that familiar invitation that Jesus gives to us and that reminder that your God wants you. No matter what you're facing, whether it seems easy, whether it seems hard, your God wants you. He wants to come to you. And He wants you to come to Him. So the first words of the gospel lesson, at that time. John the Baptist had just sent some messengers to Jesus. John the Baptist is in prison. And as he's watching and hearing the things that Jesus is doing, it's probably understandable to you and to me to get that he's perhaps a little concerned. He's supposed to be the forerunner of Christ. He's supposed to be the one who's pointing to Jesus, and now he's sitting in prison, and Jesus is just going from place to place. Jesus gives him the answer, gives him the comfort, gives him rest by taking him back to the promises of Scripture. The blind receive sight. The lame walk. Those who have leprosy are cured. The deaf hear. The dead are raised. And the gospel is preached to the poor. Blessed is the one who does not take offense at me. But sadly, there were some who were taking offense at him. After those two messengers go back to John and Jesus describes who John the Baptist is, he begins to denounce two cities, Capernaum and Chorazin. Both are cities that had seen a number of Jesus' miracles. Jesus had spent some time there, but instead of meeting Jesus with faith, those two cities are meeting him with unbelief. They were probably all right with the healings. They probably liked the sideshow of the miracles. But as soon as he started talking about sin and eternity, they weren't all that interested anymore. Didn't want to follow. Sounds a little like today, doesn't it? There are Christians like John the Baptist who need the reassurance, who know what the Bible says but just need to hear it again because of the struggles that we face and the confusion that we sometimes have. And there are those who maybe don't mind listening about Jesus and maybe have some ideas of what they think Jesus ought to be, but as long as He is someone who takes care of all of my needs here, as long as He's someone who gives me what I'm looking for here, He's fine. But as soon as He starts talking about that sin stuff and starts pointing out how I'm not measuring up, then I'm not sure I want to listen anymore. And even though I've been using the first person, we've been kind of thinking that that's the world that's been talking, and yet every now and then we find ourselves liking Jesus for the health and the wealth of the here and now, but as soon as He starts talking about sin and how it affects the there and then I'm not so sure I want to listen. If we're going to come to Him, if we're going to follow Him, something's going to have to happen. Your God wants you. And if that's going to be the case, then something needs to take place. At that time, Jesus continued, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from clever and learned people and have revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, because this was pleasing to you. Everything has been entrusted to me by my Father. No one knows the Father except the Son, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wants to reveal Him. God wants to come to you. And if that's going to take place, then God needs to reveal Himself. That's what has to happen first. God has to reveal Himself. For you and for me, perhaps that's not new news. But think about what that means. Your God wants you. He wants to come to you. And so Jesus describes who this God is, the Lord of heaven and earth. This is not philosophy. This is not some localized deity that's got some kind of limited power. This is not something that you and I have made. This is not something that you and I have dreamed up. This is the God who made you, not the God that you made up. God wants us to know who He is. And the only way that you and I are going to know who God is, the only way that He is going to come to you, is if He reveals Himself. And He does that through Jesus. God has to reveal Himself. No one knows who the Father is. No one knows who the Son is. Yes, there is this thing called natural knowledge of God. Yes, you and I and every person on this planet knows that there is a God. We know that there's something out there. There may be those who deny it, and there may be those who are trying to talk you out of it, but everybody knows that something is out there. But we just don't know Him as Father. We do not know Him as Son. We do not know Him as the Holy Spirit. And so it is pleasing to God to come to you. It was pleasing to the true God to reveal Himself to you. And He does that through the Son. And so the Father comes and He entrusts everything to Jesus. And then Jesus comes and He is the one who wants to reveal everything to everyone. So that you and I can know who God is and rejoice in the fact that your God wants you. And to make that happen, He wants to come to you. That's what God is pleased about. He's pleased. And so as He sends Jesus, you and I now know what God wants. God wants perfection. He wants His creation to do what He made it to do. He wants perfect praise. He wants perfect service. He wants perfect allegiance. We didn't give it to Him. There may be times, like the Apostle Paul described, when we were perhaps trying, but then there were other times when we weren't. We're not able to give God what He expects us to give to Him, and so we see that that's what He's expecting in Jesus, because Jesus did. Jesus was absolutely perfect in everything that He said, and everything that He thought, and in every word that He spoke. And God in His amazing grace wants you and was willing to take Jesus' perfection in your place. Because that's what God wants. He wants perfection. In Jesus, you and I also learn what else God wants. He wants you. He made you. He's taking care of you. Providing for you. He wants you. But as soon as we find out that God wants perfection and that God wants you, many of us are probably tempted to say, well, you can have one or the other, but you can't have both. And so Jesus makes it possible for God to have both. Jesus made it possible for God to find His perfection. He finds it in Jesus. Jesus makes it possible for God to find you. That's why Jesus took His perfection and sacrificed it on the cross. That's why Jesus was willing to be counted as the only sinner and paid for every iniquity, paid for every single item of guilt from every single sinner so that God could have perfection and you. He comes. God wants you. And so Jesus comes and reveals the Father, reveals the One who is in control of all heaven and earth. God was pleased to reveal Himself in Jesus, and Jesus is pleased to reveal God to you in everything that He says and does. God wants you. And so He comes to you. Isn't that just amazing? I know you've heard that before. I know the promise you're about to hear is simple. But you think about every other religion that's out there, every other false idea that's out there, and there is no other God who comes to you. Every other kind of religion is constantly making demands. If you want God to come to you, whatever you call Him, there's certain things you need to do. You've got to go to Him. You've got to give to Him. You've got to praise Him. You've got to offer Him. You've got to do something if you want God to come. And we're about to hear that amazing invitation when Jesus says, come. But how amazing it is and how comforting it is to know that before Jesus says to you, go to God, that your God has already come to you. Your God wants you. He wants to come to you, and He did. So now He wants you to come to Him. You know the invitation. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, because I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Come. He wants you to come to Him. Come. You look at all the stuff that's going on. You see all the things that are happening, all the challenges and blessings that you have. Come. Come, you who are weary. I think the second lesson probably described it perfectly. Weary is not just being tired. Weary is what happens after all the hard work. Weary is what we are when we see this struggle going on inside of our own selves. When there is that part of us that wants to do what is good, and then there's the other part of us that doesn't want to do what is good. And so we find this law at work. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. The good that I want to do, that's not what I'm doing. The things that I don't want to do, I did it again. Weary. Burdened. Again, I think the second lesson probably gave you the as good a definition of burdened as there is. What a miserable wretch I am. Burdened by my sin, burdened by what I've done, burdened by what I've thought, burdened by what I know I deserve from my God. Come. Come, you who are weary and burdened, and Jesus says, I will give you rest. Remember when you're carrying all those groceries, you had all your arms loaded down, you're carrying about as much, you only wanted to take one trip from the car. You loaded everything that you could, and you got met halfway by someone who started taking some of the bags off your arms. How nice it was to have that burden lifted. Your Lord and your Savior didn't come and just take some of the bags, He took it all. Lifted the entire burden off of you, and now you can rest. Rest in His love and rest in His grace, and now you can come to Him in praise and in honor and joy. And as you come, you also get to live. You get to live learning from your Lord and your God, learning that He's first of all substitute, that He is the one who doesn't just come to you and say, okay, now I'm showing you how to do this, now you go do it. He did it for you. Lifted that burden, took it away forever. And now as our substitute comes to you and to me, we come to Him and we love to honor, serve, and obey Him. No wonder we love to go back to His commandments and use them to praise Him and to honor Him. No wonder we want to thank our Lord and our God because of everything that He has done to us. He says, come, and He wants us to come to Him. So we come. We come to His Word. We come to that Bible that lays on the kitchen table, or the bedside table, or the coffee table, wherever it is in your home that you sit, and you come to your God when you open that Word. We come here. We come here in person. We come here online. We come here to hear that Word. We come to listen. We come to hear and rejoice in the fact that this is the power of God for the salvation of all who believe. We come in baptism and we rejoice that this is where God comes to us. He washes us clean, gives us that renewal. We come as He unites us to Himself in His supper. We come as we are united to each other, as we carry each other's burdens and help each other along. We come in that supper as we watch the bread and the wine united to the body and the blood. We come as you and I are united to our Savior. Through the forgiveness of sins, we come. He wants you to come to Him. And because He came to you, we want to go to Him. We rejoice to go to Him. Because your God wants you. How amazing it is that as your God comes to you and as your God tells you how much He wants you, that He comes to you in such a way that makes it so easy for you to find Him. He comes in the Word. He comes in those sacraments. He comes in Jesus. And now you can take a look at that picture in the front of your bulletin, and that's your God. That's the God who wants you. That's the God who opens up His arms wide and then He wraps them around you and He holds you and He cares for you and He carries you. And He's going to do that until He takes you to be with Him forever in the glories of heaven. He wants to come to you. He does in Jesus. He wants you to come to Him. He makes that possible in Jesus. Dear Christian, there's your rest. There's your growth. Because your God wants you. Amen. Please stand. And now that peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold, uphold me with your free Spirit.
Lord God, Heavenly Father, we praise and glorify You for the unsurpassed gift of Your Son, Jesus Christ. We confess that we are unworthy sinners who have transgressed Your will and word. We repent of our evil and pray for the faith that trusts utterly and completely in the righteousness of Christ Jesus for our forgiveness. Open our hearts to the mighty power of Your word. Teach us to depend on Your holy sacrament for spiritual strength. Grant that our minds may be renewed in righteousness, that our consciences may be stirred to choose the good, and that every thought, word, and deed may be brought into captivity to Christ. Give to your church ministers and teachers who have the faithfulness and courage of true prophets, that your people may be built up in faith, abound in good works, rejoice in your love, and finally enter your heavenly kingdom. We pray for our beloved country. Give us citizens who perceive that the standard of all that is right is not personal advancement or private favor, not public opinion or party platform, but your holy will. Lavish your grace on all families, that each home may, by its Christian love and character, be for our children a foretaste of the joy and blessedness of our heavenly home. Fill us with a love for each other. Help us to set our own personal opinions aside when that means that we're able to help those who need our help and our support. For all who are in any sickness, pain, anguish, or suffering, for all who are in any danger of body or soul, we pray. Teach them to turn to You and to wait on You for mercy. Grant them hope and a joyous deliverance from all of their trials, and let them walk in Your light all of their days. These things we pray in the name of Jesus, our refuge and our hope. It is in His name that we now join to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Blessed Lord, you have given us your holy scriptures for our learning. May we so hear them, read, learn, and take them to heart, that being strengthened and comforted by your holy word, we may cling to the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with his favor and give you his peace. Once again, good morning to all of you. Thank you for being with us. God's blessings as you rest in Jesus, as you rejoice in that forgiveness that is yours this week and always. Everything is in your update. Perhaps the only thing to highlight once again would just be the Vacation Bible School coming up. If any of you know of children or have children in those ages, all the information is on the website. It is in your update. We are asking that you please register ahead of time before July 30th comes, so we've got all the necessary arrangements made. Starts at 3, goes until 5:30. Everything else is in your update. Feel free to safely greet those who gathered with you this day. Once again, as we continue on, take the bulletins with you. Offering plates are in the back, as you are now become used to. God's blessings as you worship Him.